Ramsey TV.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You and I, we've been together long enough. I can see right through to your soul. Yes, you're thinking, what is with this title? And you're a little bit scared. God talks to people? With an exclamation point?
Harold, when's the last time Martin Zander used an exclamation point in the title of a show?
Yeah, it's been a long time. So, hold on. Calm down. Hold your horses. Wait until you hear me explain this. First of all, I need to tell you why whiskey is good for you. It has health benefits. Of course, you drink it in moderation, as I do. But this is from Forbes magazine. 5 reasons drinking whiskey is healthy for you. Forbes. It's Forbes.com. It fights cancer. Everybody knows that. You can find that on several websites. Whiskey lowers the risk of dementia. You can tell how brilliant I am. And whiskey lowers the risk of heart disease. You can find that many different sites on the internet. Whiskey has no fat, no carbs, no sugar. That's right. There's no sugar in it. No carbs, no fat. It's a health drink. Whiskey is good for colds. You ever heard of the hot toddy? Oh, yeah. You heat it up. You put a little honey in there, a little lemon. You heat up some water, pour it with some whiskey, honey, and lemon. Your problems are over. Whiskey eliminates stress. And you can find there's one place that has 10 health benefits of whiskey. So there's more than just this. So check it out. All right. So we have a fellow member of the body of Christ who is in bad straits right now. In fact, he spent the night in his car last night, maybe the night before, and he probably doesn't want me to mention his name, but just pray for him. God knows his name. We're together. He's listening to this show. And he texted me today and he said, Martin, I'm crying out for relief. I got problems, internal, external. I'm crying out to God for relief. And I hear the usual, which is crickets. That's the most frustrating thing, the most frustrating problem that people have with God. If you haven't noticed this, he doesn't talk much. Or does he? Or does he? I'm going to give you the rest of the story here in a second. But first, I want to tell you that some people claim that God speaks audibly to them. If anybody tells you that God speaks audibly today, or if you yourself hear a voice, you better drink some whiskey. It'll slap you back to reality because God doesn't do this. These are demonic demonstrations, I truly believe, meant to deceive people. God does not speak in an audible voice. The demons can do it, and they can distract people from knowing about and worshiping the true God, give people false expectations. Like God is their personal palm reader. Tells them what's going to happen. Tells them about their past. Tells them things. Talks to them. It's like, no. God did this in days past because there was a time when the scriptures, there's a big clue to the rest of the story. The scriptures were not all written yet. So as God is writing the scriptures over hundreds of years, he inspires certain men to write them down. But even then, he doesn't speak audibly. It comes by spiritual means. But he has said all he needs to say today. And you know where it is. But this is what my friend said. My friend wrote me and he said, it just came into my mind as I'm hearing crickets. It's so frustrating because you feel like you're alone. It's like, where is God? You cry. It's like, ring, ring. Ring, ring. That can be demoralizing. But my friend said, what I got next was this assurance that my grace is sufficient for you. And it settled him. Now let me ask you this. Did he hear that in an audible voice? No. Was it an internal voice of God speaking in him inaudibly? No. What it was a scripture verse, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And Paul is praying to have a thorn in the flesh removed. After Paul's been to the third heaven, he sees things so great, so grand, so glorious that he would tend to be lifted up beyond measure. God gives him a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Paul prays for it to go away. And in these days, in Paul's day, perhaps he did hear an audible voice, not from God, because God is inaudible, absolutely inaudible, invisible, untouchable. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that answered him. And far be it from me to say that Paul didn't hear an audible voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I believe that when Paul was in the Arabian desert for 3 years, I believe it was after his conversion, Jesus Christ himself taught him in person. The glorified Christ taught Paul directly. Yeah, fantastic days, fantastic days. But Paul says later, I think it's Colossians 1:25, he says, I complete the word of God. That's a bold statement, my friend, Paul. But he completed it. It doesn't mean that there weren't writers that wrote after him, because many believe that John wrote the unveiling of Jesus Christ after Paul's last letter. But Paul completes the word of God as far as the farthest look we have, to the end of the aeonian times and God becoming all in all. So as I thought about my friend's text today, and as I prayed for him and texted him back, I realized something profound that I've always known, but it hit me in a brand new way. And I wanted to share this with you today. And that is the fact that we're so apt to look at the scriptures as writings of men. We picture Paul sitting down with his scribe over here. Paul's probably pacing the room, dictating letters to his scribe that are sacred scripture. Paul being under the inspiration of Holy Spirit. Which means that God is directly speaking to us through the words of Scripture. None of us can say that God doesn't communicate with us. No one can say, I look into heaven, I try to pray and I hear nothing and I'm so disappointed in God. And God says, I wrote a whole freaking book. It's living, it's active. These are my words to you and they don't change. And you have it in your possession. I did speak. I did it in the past. I only need to do it once. It was recorded. It's in ink on paper. And you can verify it from the three most ancient manuscripts that we have. Codex Vaticanus, Codex Sinaiticus, Codex Alexandrinus. These three ancient manuscripts that were used in the compilation of the Concordant version. The Concordant Literal New Testament. These are God's words. My grace is sufficient for you. That just wasn't a word for Paul. That is a word for the body of Christ, because the word grace just oozes all through Paul's writings. But I don't want to consider these, at least for now, Paul's writings anymore. Forget Paul's writings. We always talk about Paul's writings, the writings of Paul, the gospel of Paul. These are God's words to us. He's speaking like crazy Let's look at a couple things that he says here, can we? How about Romans 8, verse 1? Nothing consequently is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. This is God speaking to us. Nothing now is therefore condemnation. This is the same as you crying out to heaven and saying, oh, I'm feeling guilty. I'm racked with guilt over my failings. And God, if you hear, what if you did hear a booming voice? My grace is sufficient for you, with reverb. The whole thing. My grace is sufficient for you. It'd be like, yes, wow, God spoke to me. Couldn't be better. But it couldn't be better because he did. These are not Paul's words. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. This is God speaking. There is no condemnation. I'm feeling guilty. And you listen for a voice. You hear crickets. But this word, there's now no condemnation, is the same. In fact, it's better because we have internal evidence that the word of God is inspired. It's the same as God saying, there's now therefore no condemnation. Oh, he's saying it, yeah, he's saying it conversationally. There's no more condemnation. There is no more condemnation. Wouldn't that be great if God walked with you like he did with Adam in the Garden of Eden? He does. But it's here. These are not Paul's words. These are God's words to us. Let's go to Romans 8. Starting with verse, I don't have my glasses. Is it 35? What shall be separating us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? What shall be separating us? You almost picture Paul or anybody crying in the heaven. What will separate us? I'm surrounded by things that I perceive will separate me from the love of God, from your care, from your concern, from your sustenance. Give me courage, give me help. And you listen and you don't hear anything. But it's here. It's here. What shall be separating us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Remember, these are not Paul's words. I need to emphasize that to you today. What I am about to read to you are not the words of Paul. These aren't the letters of Paul. They're letters from God, from the creator of the universe, who put his message to us in print and was gracious enough to preserve it. And we have it, and we can read it, and we keep it closed on our coffee table and listen instead for a voice? The words on the page are far more reliable than any voice you could hear. If you hear a voice, run. If you see a vision, run. God doesn't do that today, but people love the sensational. How is this for sensational? These are the words of God to us. He needed people to as go-betweens because they're the ones that had the pens and the parchment. He used them. Paul was used. Paul himself would tell you that I was used. He was a necessary medium. Paul was used by a God who wanted to speak to us directly. But because of our limitations, he puts it in print and preserves it. What shall be separating us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Affliction? My friend today was in affliction. Distress? He was in distress. Persecution? Yes, he was also being persecuted. Famine? If he's living in his car right now, he's hungry. Nakedness? I don't know. I didn't ask him about that. Danger, sword, according as it is written, on thy account we are being put to death the whole day. We are reckoned as sheep for slaughter. So we are told by God that this is how it's going to be. But then this, nay, in all these things we are more than conquering through him who loves us. He loves us. God, why don't you tell me that you love me? He's telling you. He's using Paul to tell you. For I am persuaded. Who's persuaded? We seem to think that Paul is, but it's God who is persuading us that neither life nor death, nor messengers, nor sovereignties, nor the present, nor what is impending, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God does talk today directly to us. He used people to do it because he's speaking to people. But these are living, active words of comfort to us. And I want you to begin more and more, as I am going to do more and more, to think of these things, not as these words, not as the letters of Paul, not as the words of our apostle. These are the words of the Creator of the universe, communicating to us, to let us know, down through the ages, through the fog of time, through the fog of religious tradition, that he loves us. And he will never stop. And he has a plan for us and for all humanity, for all our loved ones, for all who have ever died in Adam. Because in Christ they shall all be vivified. This is real. This is true. And it is spoken to us personally by God today.